This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? Welcome to Manchester United. Welcome to the pain show. United drop points again on the road. Burnley, bottom of the table. Burnley Builders, as we so eloquently call them on the pod. But just a typical Manchester United performance today. Rude chances. Played well in spats. Checked off. Gave up a terrible goal. And then couldn't get another one, sir. I'm sure a lot of fans, a lot of American Red Devils, a lot of Manchester United fans around the world are kind of, you know, numb to this. I feel numb to it. You know, watching this again, as soon as that goal went in, it's like, I've seen this movie before. I speak for the fans. I speak with the fans in the sense that I think we're all just sick and tired of seeing the same thing happen over and over again. But how are you feeling after dropping two big points against Burnley when we should be winning?
You know, turf mortar is no joke. We talk about it here. It's like when Frodo finally gets that ring up there, got to toss it in, and he changes his mind. Like, United had it done in that first half. Played well. I thought it was a great lineup for Rangnick. I thought we came out with intent. Everything seemed to be clicking. And then, just like in that movie, sir, that ugly side, you see it. Frodo doesn't want to throw the ring into the lava. But we didn't have our Samwise to bail us out. Baby bitch FC, it's going to be hurting for a long time. This club has no soul. This team has no soul. How can Burnley want it more than Manchester United? Burnley, 20th place in the league. We're coming in. Highest wage bill in the league. Look at the all-stars that we started in this game. And Burnley go in, down a goal, and they don't give up. Back against the wall, they come out, they fight, and United fold like a wet noodle. Like Harry Maguire. What are you doing? I mean, what a statement win from Burnley. You know, that's a team. We got a bunch of Instagram all-stars here.
They didn't win, but it does feel like a loss. But I hear you. I feel with you. It was tough to even get mad at a certain point because you're like, you know, you weren't creating anything, had the chances, the ones Ronaldo just skied over. But at the end of the day, you look at that field. There's an £89 million player that's leaving for free in 3 months. There is an £80 million defender who looked like he ain't worth 40 today. And these are all Woodward signings.
20! He ain't worth 350.
So. I know, dude. And it was bad. Today was one of the worst games you've seen out of him. Lack of leadership, but just like the lack of what we signed up for. We signed up for Slabhead, and we're getting Pillowhead. You know, it's like he's soft. This team is soft. And it's because it trickles down. You know, the ambition is set from the top. We have more ambitious owners, you know, up the Tynes in Newcastle that just showed up, you know, in their relegation battle. I don't know if you saw the goal that Trippier scored today, sir, but we could use a player like that, or just a board that's competent that can make deals, get players out that don't want to be here. And it felt like it was an addition by subtraction. We the team got weaker than it was a month ago. And a lot of it is because of the mismanagements of the board, of Woodward, Arnold, whoever. It's the Glazer show, but a lot of questions to be asked, but I think it starts at the top.
Clearly, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know it's hashtag Glazers out all day. You know that they've absolutely just, like I said, we're a club without a soul. I think when you look at the boardroom, it's all about the dividend. It's all about money. That's all they care about. They don't care about trophies. They don't care about history. They don't care about tradition. And it's evident that we're behind the times in that regard in the boardroom. But if you look at the players, it's almost like the boardroom kind of gave Ed Woodward a lot of leeway, and then Ed Woodward like these big splashy signings. And then we blew up our wage bill. We lost everything regarding tradition. We lost leadership in the locker room. And then now you just have a bunch of people that are making way too much money, that don't care about nothing other than their Instagram account. And it's true. We have a bunch of individuals. This team has no soul. There's nothing behind it. I mean, look at Rangnick. He's a substitute teacher trying to get them to put together an effort in the second half. But somehow Sean Dyche and relegation-bound Burnley, they can find the fight. Down a goal. They played horribly in the first half. Back against the wall. And they fought back for a draw, sir. Feels like a loss for Manchester United. And you know what? I'm getting sick of this shit. I'm getting real sick of this shit. Because this, because here's the deal. It ain't Manchester United. I don't care what you say. This isn't Manchester United. Harry Maguire, he ain't a Manchester United player. You know, he wears a jersey. He's getting paid handsomely. There's no grit. There's no fight. You know, compared to like Vidic, it's like half his size. It's unbelievable. Sir Alex Ferguson told him, and he talked, Harry Maguire did an interview with Gary Neville. Sir Alex Ferguson told him, concentration. Number one thing as a defender. He lacks concentration for Manchester United. Switches off. He doesn't take ownership. There's no leaders in this locker room. And what do we expect for them to just come out and lower their heads when big old Burnley the Builder score one goal? Manchester United can't. No one can like pull this team together and figure out how to get a result. It's embarrassing, and we're just got to watch this shit show kind of meander along for the rest of the year. And yeah, we might hit some good patches of form, but it's going to be temporary because there is no spine to this group. There is no soul to this team, and there is no soul to this club because of our owners. And it all starts in the boardroom, but you think at least Ronaldo could whip this team up, or Reina could get a reaction out of him, and it looks to be that that's not the case.
Dire words, dark stuff. Very likely to get worse before it gets better, you know, because like you said, I think there is a soul at Manchester United. The soul is there regardless if there's no heart, you know, from the owners, or no brain from the owners. They might be the Tin Man and the Lion from Wizard of Oz are just missing vital organs in all the right places, because we'll talk about in the news how much money they've wasted. Pogba and Maguire are a great indictment of that. Like this, like they're going to do it with Rice again, right? They love this like big splashy price signing that you break the bank on, publicize the shit out of, you know, it's all about the likes, and it's a big gamble. And how many of those signings work out? You know, sometimes they're Mbappe's and sometimes they're Dembele's or Pogba's, dude, or Maguire's. And if you sign a player for 30 million instead of 90 million, it limits the damage a little bit. It limits the downside because you're taking such a risk. And so I think we're going to reap those poor decisions for a long time, because this, as you, we've talked about, when we talk about the balance sheet, we talk about the financials of this club, there are a lot of payables due as it relates to transfers that were made in the past. The Maguires, even the Pogbas of the world, that we're still paying off incredibly so, that is going to hamper our ability to participate actively in the transfer market and get rid of some of these players that don't have the proper identity like you talked about. There are players there, Bruno, De Gea, Ronaldo, Rashford, that like have what it takes. McTominay, I think, you know, but there are players that don't and that probably need to be moved along. But that's going to be hard for the club that like can't get rid of Phil Jones or Juan Mata or Matic. So sorry, it could get a lot worse before it gets better. Randy could throw up his hands. The next guy, whoever he may be, who knows how that could go. So it could be a tough decade. All we got is each other and this great club and the fans, but we have to be very honest. It's the very tip top where the problems stem. It's all about the boardroom, and it will continue there until they leave, and we have to just kind of like bang that drum until it gets, you know, too much for them.
I mean, ultimately, that's what we need to do. This isn't really, there's more to this than, I think this has gone beyond sort of the DOF perspective. This is, we got to build a football club from scratch. Because we were kind of living off the fumes of Sir Alex there for a couple of years. And it kind of worked a little bit. And obviously the board was a headwind to that. Like you look at Mourinho coming in, he's got that winning mentality. You know, if they backed him 100%, I think we would probably have seen a few more trophies. Obviously, Mourinho's been in decline, but I do think them sort of backing Pogba, bouncing Mourinho was a big turn to now we're a rudderless ship, really. Because it led to Ole, and, you know, say what you will, I think Ole papered over the cracks, right? So if people look back at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they're going to say, hey, he was exactly what we needed at that time, but maybe he enabled the Lingards, the Martials, the Pogbas of the world, because it killed the culture. If you look at where we're at right now, that's why Rangnick coming in and just calling out players for like lying pretty much and just wanting to take vacation is how crazy that we're talking about this at Manchester United. It makes no sense. There's something that the board enabled there that has gotten so bad. It's like festered into an unrecognizable squad and team versus what we were. And I think this is when you have to have the full reboot, bring in a new CEO, new DOF, new manager, and give them the time to sort of fix this and build something anew. And it's time we move on from Sir Alex Ferguson and him saying, I want Pochettino. It's time we move on to Ten Hag and Edwin van der Sar and believe in a new vision for this club. And without that new vision, it's going to be more of the same. And I think under the Glazers, it's always been more of the same, and it's been a consistent decline. And right now, this team, I can't remember. Like, there's always been sort of hope. Right now, this could we bring in Pochettino. There's too many players to move. They can't get it done. And then next season's the same. Then they keep backing Pochettino. Then they sign, like, you know, maybe a Declan Rice. We just don't have the players. We don't have the leadership in the locker room. And this could just be, like you said, another decade of this, another decade. And that's everything going on around the club right now. If you look at it on paper, we're obviously trying to take into context the last 10 years here on the podcast a little more than just saying, okay, look, hey, the first half was good. Rangnick's getting something out of them. You look at Middlesbrough, embarrassing, but again, United should have won. Now, we lack that ruthlessness. We're not ruthless enough. Wayne Rooney talking about how he put on longer studs to put a hole in John Terry's leg.
I know.
That is a player that puts another one past him at Burnley. That's the mentality that puts three or four, five past Burnley, puts him in the mud. That is the type of players that we need at Manchester United. We don't have that. We try to get away with one goal, and then the defenders are nervous. It's mentality, sir. We lack that mentality, and you can't just go out and sign that for $100 million. And that seems to be the solution of the board. Sign Declan Rice, sign Jadon Sancho. These big money deals, we need to get rid of this stuff. We need to get players that are hungry, who want to play, want to prove something, and want to put on those long studs at Manchester United, sir. It's been too long since we've had that mentality, and I don't know if overpaid English prima donnas like Harry Maguire are going to get us back to the promised land.
Well, here's the thing. There are many foundations, many like core tenements to success at Manchester United through the years. And one of them for Ferguson was a famous adage, sir, is no player is ever bigger than the club. As soon as a player thinks he's bigger, or as soon as the player becomes bigger than the club or more powerful than the club, you've lost all control. And as soon as Ed Woodward and the Glazers picked Paul Pogba over Jose Mourinho, not an indictment necessarily on Paul Pogba, but he picked a player, whether it's Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney, or Paul Pogba, over the manager. And that was the moment, sir. And it's been downhill even when Mourinho is here. But like, if you look at it, it's gotten out of control since then. Out of control, lack of leadership. It's because, like, dude, it's a free for all,
and everyone's hoarded this club out for money. They like Woodward hoard out the brand for money. The players have hoarded out the club for big wages that they don't deserve because they don't actually earn them. You know, it's just this whole everyone's just getting paid and just not caring about the club. No one's thinking selflessly about what can they do for Manchester United. Paul Pogba is not like, what can I do to build on this amazing history of this club? How can I contribute to Manchester United? I don't think in these modern times, Manchester United has become, you know, insert bullshit brand here. Sunglasses, internet, wireless internet, sir. I'm sure they got like a cup of noodles here. That's all Manchester United is now.
And that was
stood for something at one point. And now it's just sort of just a money-making machine for a trust fund for these players and brands around the world trying to get the shine, like any crypto Tezos, baby.
Yeah, you should have gotten paid up front on that Tezos deal. It's going to be bad for a while because it's not about like who the next guy is. It's about who's making the decisions at the end of the day. And the people making the decisions have shown time and again that they are not the proper stewards of the club. They're not even good financial stewards. They're not good at making money. They're good at losing money. And they don't have any idea of what they're doing. And they clearly have no intention of changing because, dude, John Murtaugh is a yes man. Ole was a yes man. Ralph is not a yes man, and that is where there's going to be the rubber hit the road because they're not going to get that hot on Ralph, and they're going to kind of push him to the side because he's going to ask too many questions, call too straight, and I'm pretty sure that they're looking for another yes man, sir.
Dude, all you need to know about Manchester United is they didn't sign a defender in January because they're like waiting for the other manager, and then they're talking about signing Declan Rice like 2 days later. You know, it's like this club is full of absolute Muppets, sir. Speaking of Muppets... Quick PSA for the podcast. We are the American Red Devils. If you like Manchester United and you're a Muppet like us, we appreciate you. You want to hang out with some other Muppets, check out our Discord channel. It's awesome. We have almost 300 members on our channel. We chat during match days, talk about all the latest news. If you don't know what Discord is, it's awesome. Download it. There's a link on Twitter. If you need us to email you an invite, we will. You can email us, americaredevils@gmail.com. Also, if you want to support this podcast, we don't have any private sponsors, no ads that you need to fast forward through other than the self-promotion. So we got to promote ourselves here. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. You support us on Patreon. It goes a long way for us to keep the lights on here. Pod never sleeps. We're trying to solve all Manchester United's problems from the armchair. Not doing so well at the moment. I applied to be an assistant coach. Haven't heard back from Rangnick just yet, but I'll keep you posted there. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so via 4 tiers. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, and everything. Please check it out. It's the best way to support us these days. Also, check out our blog, www.americaredevils.com. We have amazing fan-generated blog content for fans by fans. So that's our motto. We have some great merchandise there. If you click on store, everything you buy goes to support the small-time operation. We have hoodies, scarves, shirts, pins, stickers, you name it. You can rep the American Red Devils in many different ways. Alex, tell them about podcast reviews.
Podcast reviews are platform agnostic, and they're a great way to support the pod. And they're absolutely free way to support the pod, and we'll send out some merch because it's a great way for the American Red Devils to get found organically. So this is what you have to do. Write a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to the American Red Devils, whether it be Spotify, iTunes, or the like, and send a screenshot to americaredevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils merch straight to your door, just a sign of appreciation for supporting the pod. The reviews help us get found organically. Great to support us. It goes a long way. Sir, let's get into this match. Speaking of throwing your application in to apply for assistant coach, I heard they're looking for a new set piece coach, you know, because we're on like 150 now and still can't score from a corner.
Absolutely. But, sir, before we get into that, there's a big day that occurred this past weekend on Sunday in Manchester United's history. We talk about this, the rich history of this club, and part of that history is a tragedy called the Munich Air Disaster. Now, many fans do know, obviously, about the Munich Air Disaster. The memorial at Old Trafford, which we have visited many a times. We wear the infamous clock of the time when this disaster occurred on our scars whenever we go to Old Trafford. The Munich Air Disaster occurred on February 6, 1958. When British European Airways Flight 609 crashed on its third attempt to take off from a slush-covered runway at the Munich Rheim Airport in West Germany. That aircraft was carrying the Manchester United football team, famously known as the Busby Babes, along with supporters and journalists. There are 44 people on board, 20 of whom died in the fiery wreck on the scene. There were more who were injured, obviously, Sir Matt Busby among those, some unconscious. and they were taken at the Reichster Isar Hospital in Munich, where three more died, resulting in a total of 23 fatalities with 21 survivors. This fledgling team, this young team that was up and coming in Europe, was returning from a quarterfinal match in the European Cup from Red Star Belgrade, where they actually beat them to advance the semifinals of the competition. The Manchester United players who perished in the Munich air disaster: Geoff Bent, Roger Byrne, Eddie Coleman, Duncan Edwards, who survived the crash but died in the hospital 15 days later, Mark Jones, David Pegg, Tommy Taylor, Billy Whelan, Walter Krickmere, another club legend who was a secretary at the time, Tom Curry, who was a trainer, and Bert Whaley, who was the chief coach. Sir Matt Busby would go on to survive, as long as, same with Barbie Charlton, Harry Gregg, Kenny Morgans, Albert Scanlon, Dennis Violet, and Ray Wood. Famously, Matt Busby, lying in the hospital in Munich for a couple of months, took a year off and then came back to manage Manchester United and brought them back to win the European Cup, the same cup competition they were playing in when this disaster happened. And he won the 1968 European Cup with Sir Bobby Charlton, George Best, Nobby Style, sir. Another great group of Manchester United players. But from the ashes, Sir Matt rose above everything. And what a story. What a tragedy. And what a story, sir. This rich history of this club, it's almost like these players should be thinking of this when they step out onto that pitch. And it's a day that, it's a sad day for me personally, but one that reminds me what this club is all about.
I mean, you speak about that soul beats on, because this club has been pushed to the brink, right? We'll never die. We say it for a reason. There was talk of folding the club after the accident. The team that was about to win three leagues in a row, be the first English team to do so in the top flight, ended up doing it 50 years later under Ferguson. But just a tragedy, a club-defining tragedy in many ways. The ability of the club to rebuild, you know, after the loss of so many huge players, Duncan Edwards especially, assistant coaches, and rebuild the squad to, you know, even greater heights, or winning, obviously, the European Cup in 68. And just a defining characteristic of this club is the resiliency. So that gives me hope. You know, the Glazer era at some point will end. It will end, because they will inevitably leave. It's just the story of this club. There have been very bad owners. There have been very good owners with smart people appointed, but it goes two ways. It's the owners that have been good have been very good, and the owners who have been bad have been very bad. And the Glazers will be an infamously bad owner. But this club's history is so great because of all of it's been through and all of it's accomplished in spite of all the hardships it's been through, that, you know, some like negligent owners hanging out in Florida, not paying attention to even what place we're in the league, sir. This club is so much more than that. And they do a disservice to it. The owners do, some of the players do with these performances, because it's been tough days for Manchester United fans to like look at that team with, you know, with excitement and joy and pride.
Yeah, but this is what the club's all about, right? Some people want to point to Sir Alex. Some people want to point to that. This club was built by John Henry Davies. Giants, sir. You know, Walter Crickmore, he who died in the Munich air disaster, set up the youth academy. Sir Matt Busby, legends, titans that built this club, that made Sir Alex want to come manage it. And then, obviously, he built on the success. But this club has a strong backbone over 100 years, and the history is unbelievable. That's why I love Manchester United. That's why these players, they must be so caught up in this. It's 2022. There's so me, Instagram, look at me. This must be hard for them to connect with the history of the club. Patrice Evra talked about how important it was for him to understand where he was playing and how important it was. And I just think these players don't get it. I think it's become, football's kind of become this like super league Instagram famous type of thing, and they just lack the, you know, they have fast careers, and maybe one day they'll realize it. You know, you look at Tony Martial at Sevilla. You know, maybe one day he'll realize he probably should have tried harder when he was playing at Manchester United. Who knows? Seems like they're squandering it, sir. But let's get into this match. Burnley 1, Manchester United 1 at Turf Mordor. Let's get into that lineup. Dave Says, world number one in net. Luke Schott, left back. Maguire, Varane, center back. Pairing Dalot at right back. McTominay playing defensive midfielder. Fernandez and Pogba in the pivot. Rashford, Cavani, and Sancho up top. What'd you make of this lineup?
So I like this 11. I thought this was one of the stronger 11s we have with even everybody available. You know, see Maguire, he's going straight to fourth at the moment. I play Jones over him. But I like this 11. I love that front three. Rashford on one wing, Sancho on the other, and Cavani. You know, I thought his link up was very good today. We could have scored. We did score a bunch of goals. They got, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I like this 11. What did you think about it, John?
I called it on the Discord channel yesterday after I heard Rangnick's presser. I thought Cavani had to be the man to try to get in behind. He has great movement. Then you put the pace on the wing and you hope that Dalot and Shaw can overlap and you can get good service into Cavani, who can get some chances. Fernandez, Pogba, I mean, those guys should be running the show. Absolutely running the show. But let's get into this match. Their first half, 8th minute, Rashford with a decent chance, parried wide. Another terrible corner here. 12th minute goal from Champions League Varane, but it was overturned by VAR Slabhead. Interesting one from Harry Maguire, kind of runs off sides, then comes back on to then block a Burnley player. Unfortunately, a harsh call by VAR, but it was the right call. And look, if he was never off sides, or if he wasn't blatantly off sides, if he was just shoulder to shoulder fighting with this man, I think it would have been fine, even if he was off. But like the fact he kind of ran off, then came back on. What are you doing, Harry Maguire? Goal overturned.
I mean, I have to go full Muppet just because we got robbed on Friday. And I hear you. There's definitely that element.
You don't do that.
No, I know. I'm not saying it wasn't a stupid decision, but this league has gotten so soft, and they overturned two goals that I've seen them call for other teams. There's just no consistency. It's not the fact that, like, yeah, they called it. They're fucking all over the place.
It's not a foul. It's an offsides interference. Like, the whole thing is, I agree, it's not a foul. It's not a foul. But if you're offsides, you can't affect the play. It's just part of that. That is black and white. He went offsides by a significant margin and then came to, like, be part of the play. That's like, it's like going out of bounds of football and then coming back in and catching the ball. So you can't do that. So it's not a foul is the whole point. It's like he was an offsides player interfering with the goal, and that's clear. Now the handball is just murder, but this is Harry Maguire. I don't know what he's doing. He should know that.
No, he should. He should. He played like shit the whole game. So the least he could do is just stay out of the way.
Hey, but we showed some fight here. 18th minute, sir. Give me that goal.
I wish there were more of them. 18th minute.
Pogba viene el balón sobre la izquierda. Atención que la tiene Rashford. Tiene espacio Rashford. Encara, se metió al área. Sigue Rashford. Viene con el pase para Shaw, que está habilitado. El centro hacia atrás. Acá está.
El otro campeón del mundo, Paul Pogba, sir. Hey, somebody finally get the ball down, scored a goal. Love to see it. Could have used some of that finishing later today, on Friday. But I thought the dam was going to break. I thought we'd keep pouring it on. But nice goal from Paul Pogba. Nice team goal, to be honest. You love to see it.
No, I mean, it was a great goal. And this is the reaction I didn't think we would get. Once we got this reaction, like you said, I thought the floodgates would open because we already scored. We got, you know, obviously it's a harsh call by VAR just to have that overturned. And then Pogba to come back 5 minutes later. I thought we were rolling today. And that was kind of the mentality the lads had. 21st minute goal. Manchester United actually has an own goal. This one is so bizarre. I couldn't see if it was actually a VAR check. I thought the ref had the flag up like it was offsides, but then it turned out the Burnley player put it in his own net, and then Pogba fouled him. But Pogba didn't foul the player who then put it in his own net. This one, if you're going to get mad at any goal, the 21st minute call here that disallowed this goal, it was very confusing. It was very unclear. And then it was, there's a foul on Paul Pogba. Like, yeah, it's a foul, but it was an own goal. So I guess the Burnley player could have headed it. This is when it gets very funny for me. Like you say, the inconsistency here. Because, again, I'm up it, but it was an unnecessary foul from Paul Pogba, too. He didn't need to foul him. And then we could have got this goal. So this is the fine margins we're dealing with. But we're putting the ball in the back of the net, and the score is not ticking up. So, you know, as a fan, you just got to be frustrated.
Understandably so, because, you know, it does feel a little bit like I lost a little bit of my fire after seeing this. You know, you have that, and you have it happen like within 10 minutes of each other twice, both of which questionable. I guess the first one, you convinced me, sir. Second one, it's like, come on, dude. You know, like, are they overturning these goals for Liverpool and Chelsea and City? They're not. I feel like there's almost like a United thing, an anti-United attack, sir, but it was on today.
No, it's just the flag went up. So for them to overturn it, it would have to be so not a foul. You know, this is where you get into the NFL replayification of everything, where it's like, once the call is made on the field, there has to be like, what's the definition they use? Like clear and obvious, like via replay to then overturn said call. I felt like this was one of those where I think it might've been offsides or could have been a foul. And then I don't think they knew it was an own goal. And then when they reviewed it, Paul Pogba did foul him. So there's nothing to overturn. And yeah, this is, look, as a Manchester United fan, like, fuck VAR. Like, we're dying right now.
What are those days?
33rd minute, Cavani with the goal line header saved by Pope. He's probably offside, sir. I don't know. Again, I thought he was off on the West Ham. He wasn't. And then I kind of felt like Cavani could have gotten a little more aggressive with this one. I thought he kind of waited for it. He could have jumped and dunked it a little better. That would have gone in the net, and then it would have gone to a replay. I kind of felt he waited a little too long. He was kind of flat-footed. He didn't, like, sort of come to the ball a little bit here. And then Pope gets the save. But this one could have been a goal if Cavani was a little more aggressive. This is why he's out there. You know, I felt like he waited a little too long here.
And there were a bunch of ping-pongy chances. You know, I just called out the most notable ones in the first half. But, like, you know, that made up word again, clinicality, we lacked it all over the place. And just there were so many times we could have just torn them open and had, like we said, we could have scored four goals in the first half, but could have, would have, should have, don't matter. You have to score goals. And like you said, you got to muscle that. You know, Fellaini scoring that goal. I'll tell you what, not something we should start in Fellaini, but
duh. Yeah,
a little more hard. Someone like throws it themselves into the net. You could score that goal. Like, you know.
So you play the Game of Thrones, you live and you die. There's only one, you know, kill or be killed. And we just look like we don't have that finishing. We don't have that ruthless, like, extra long studs Rooney out on that pitch. There's no dog mentality out there for this side. It's just like, let's hope it goes this way. A lot of, like, pat each other on the back on social media. That's not going to get you nowhere. 40th minute, Rashford with a good chance saved.
Social media. Sorry, just talking about social media.
It's unbelievable.
It's true.
It's true.
But you know why? It's because, like,
guys, we're really trying hard.
You know why? It's because, like, Woodward makes them whore themselves out, like, constantly. Like, they're probably doing, like, commercial stuff for the next blockchain thing that they have to sell all the time. So, like,
it's
they
not
probably.
That. It's the apologizing. It's like Manchester United. It's the apologies on. It's like,
no, who's doing that?
It's we're ridiculous. So bad. It's just like, it's been 10 years,
bad.
Guys. Like,
we're so bad.
There's nothing that you're going to say on Twitter or Instagram that is going to make anyone care other than putting and quenching that thirst for that silverware. That's
I really
all
don't understand how their PR, they all have PR people, right? I don't understand how they can be like, you don't need to say anything. Don't say anything. You lost.
It's the
same
points. People that advise, like, Marcus Rashford on social media are, like, the same people that advise just a, like, Tide. You know, they're like, just got to get out there.
No press.
It's just like, everything's great. You just happen to play football, but you're like a brand like Tide, yeah. But you play football.
Tide.
So it's like football is actually like, they don't know how to deal with the whole football aspect of it. Just like probably shut your yap. You know, just like honestly, it's like one of those things where like, don't tweet during the season. Or whatever. I don't know what the answer is, but you know, I'll tell you what. If you're playing as bad as we are, you shouldn't be posting anything on social media. That's all I gotta say.
Halftime. What were you thinking headed in?
I thought we were gonna roll them. That's the whole thing. Is like we want to complain. Good first half. Rangnick got it right.
He did.
We generated the chances, and we're not finishing, and getting screwed over by the refs. It's no excuse. These are bad teams. But what's inexcusable, and when I say this team has no soul, is like Burnley went in at half. They played horribly. They got outrun. They created nothing. They got scored against. Probably should have given up more. And they found the fight. And we couldn't. And that's the difference between United, this team, and being great or winning something. FA Cup against Middlesbrough. Why can't we finish them? Play against Burnley. Why can't we finish them? It's the mentality. We don't have that mentality, and you have to want it.
47th minute. Somebody was finishing. It wasn't us.
Liswood. Tocaba la pelota para Mejos. Que bien hizo. Viene para el lugar. Está habilitado. Atención, acá está el empate. Aquí está.
I mean, you know what happens. That, it's like... Westwood, like, cut open McTominay and Maguire. It just, I've seen us concede this goal 1,000 times. Soul, I'm more like backbone. The team's got no backbone because a fold like this goal. I know we never start second halves well, or maybe we do, maybe we don't. I can't tell anymore. But this is just such a United goal this season that we've given up. Like, such a ding. It's like a circus goal. Like, we're just tripping over ourselves. The bottom of the table, Burnley, making them look easy.
But this is the intangibles. We're talking about intangibles, soul, backbone, like whatever it is. Like you need somebody to go out there and be like, all right, we can't. Burnley's going to come out with some fight. You got to anticipate it and you got to kill it. You got to take their soul. You know, you got to be the one to be like, Burnley's going to give it their best and you take it and you stop them. And then they give up and then you score three. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to take Burnley's best shot. And it's like, when we get hit, we can't get back up.
You know it's coming.
Burnley comes out with their best shot, and we got nothing the rest of the game.
It's true, bro. Because you know it's coming. You know, dude, if you're not an idiot, you're like, Burnley's going to show up early and try to get a goal and get back in the game, right? And if you get a goal and kill it, it'll kill them. But like 2 minutes in, that is such a soft goal to give. That's why that's what gets your blood boiled. It's even more than the VAR returns. It's like... Okay, you only can score one goal, but you should not be conceding to Burnley because they're not good. They should get relegated. Fuck Burnley. I hate Burnley. We should send their asses down because they're terrible.
Well, first of all, you know, just obviously I'll talk about the tangibles. Maguire. I mean, he got back into this team, and then here you go. It's a bad look. It's a bad look right there for Harry Maguire. Also, there's a lot of players sprinkled around that because I think what happened was I forget the guy's name. He drew him in for Ron Maguire. The switch was on. Maguire needed to pick up J. Rodriguez. He figured it out too late. Couldn't get there. He could have. I think he could have gone shoulder to shoulder and given it something. And that's also another point, which is he almost like lets him score. He's like pretty close to him and he doesn't even try for like a last ditch challenge or even try to go shoulder to shoulder and make the ref make a difficult call, which I would prefer in that situation, honestly. Also, Delo's there. He could sniff the danger. He could help out. Shaw plays him on and he's a little too late to recover. It's the whole back line. I think Varane probably made the right play. Maguire... When the switch came on, Maguire wasn't ready for it. It's just McTominay also in no man's land. To lead up to this, Paul Pogba, he didn't play the man or the pass that then led to this break as well. no one switched on concentration. This whole, that's what Sir Alex Ferguson says to Harry Maguire. It's like you come out, you got to expect Burnley to be turned up. And that's when you need to have the maximum concentration. And across multiple phases of the field, we just break down. Just kind of someone else will deal with it. Someone else will deal with it. Someone else will deal with it. And then it goes in. And that's kind of what this team is. We lack that fight. We lack the concentration, the organization. And I know Rangnick's probably telling them what to do. So maybe it's concentration. This looks like United switched off. United said, oh, we got this easy. We're good. And then Burnley came out fighting.
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with the captain. It's like he's setting the tone. He's setting the tone for the back line. You know, he overcompensates. He gets bit. But, like, can he not make a freaking tackle? Like, if you get beat, you have to have the ability to. It seems like every time it's the situation, he never, like you said, put in a tackle, give the ref a hard decision, or at least, like, you could put a block in, do something. Sir, it's abysmal defending. You know, 40, it looks like $25 million player. It's just, I think the captaincy has gone to his head, and the sooner you pull that from him, the better, man. You just get him off the field. I mean, because he just looks. He looks shockingly bad. This was a terrible performance because it wasn't just that. Like you said, it was the offside in the first half. There was more. You know, he didn't play immaculate the rest of the second half either.
Shout out to Paul. Paul has been emailing us very consistently since October 2020 about how horrible Harry Maguire is. He really doesn't like Harry Maguire. And he wrote us a nice note here. He said, I would love to once hear your show here on your show that Slabhead is shit and he makes everyone play worse. We would be better off with 10 on the field and Slabhead out. He's the worst to ever captain a Premier League team. I'm sure there might be.
It's probably worse.
It's probably worse than Harry, but he's soft. He's as soft as they come, I'll tell you. I mean, like, the thing about Harry Maguire that confuses me. And obviously, I agree with what Paul says. And, you know, he asked us to shout it out. We shout out, hey, here it is. He plays well for England. And it's like, I don't understand how that, obviously the back three, but I've seen England play the back four too. But it's like, he plays like a different player for England. And he comes to United. And he just looks like he can get got at by Burnley. You know, so there's a player there. I don't know, you know, and this is the age of what can you do for the player, I guess, you know, but people say scrap him. Guess what? He ain't going nowhere. Ain't nobody paying anything for Harry Maguire.
Nope. Let's get to this. Sorry, let's get to this game. But you're right. Like, if you want the indictment, Paul, when he plays like he played today, he makes everybody around him worse. I agree with you. He was fucking terrible today just because he is a bipolar defender, dude. He either is like slabhead, aggressive as F, like he plays for England, like he, in like occasionally, like 10 times has played for us, or he plays like the guy, the way he interviews, you know, just like soft, sir. And I think, well, part of it is expectations here are a little bit higher than England. They just are. It's United. And it's heavy wears the crown of being the captain, bro. I think he's just like soft into that. And in England, you can just go play. You know, there's still some ways an underdog. But for United, dude, it's like the idea of him being a captain and like telling Ronaldo and Bruno and Paul Pogba what to do, it just kind of seems laughable. And I think that's why the whole thing doesn't work.
I mean, the thing about Harry Maguire, by the way, we got him 2026, sir. So it's not much longer. We're going to watch Harry Maguire. He's only on $8.4 million.
They'll re-up him. Don't worry, bro. He ain't going no. Like you said, he's going to be our Phil Jones. It's like they paid
Varane's
money.
17. Varane's like 17. So Varane makes more than double.
He makes bank. He makes like $350 a week. Yeah, he makes.
Yeah, he makes quite a bit. The thing about Harry is you already paid the fee, and it's just his wages. So he ain't going anywhere. I mean, that's the thing, Paul. When you buy bad players, Paul, they stick around.
That's it.
You know, that's just how it goes. So, you know, he's going to be around 2026, run down that deal.
He ain't going nowhere, bro.
Go back to Sheffield United. That's where he'll go.
He will.
All right. Harry Maguire tangent over. 52nd minute. Dave saves. Again, another point. You go down a goal. It takes us a while to regroup, and we give up more opportunities. We've seen this so many times. 55th minute, Sancho showing off his dribbling, then an awful corner. Sancho played well on the left. Sancho Shaw, that was the highlight of the first half. Was sort of Bruno playing everybody in. It felt like the midfield was linking up. We were getting the attack involved. Sancho running at people. Shaw on the overlap. I thought that was working, and then we just lost the plot in the second half here. 61st minute, Burnley cuts through United again, hitting the side netting. Burnley on the move. Maguire with a tactical foul and a yellow in the 63rd. And then we're going to bring on CR7 for Cavani. He's going to save us in the 68th minute. Ronaldo comes on. He didn't look too sharp or pumped. He was on the bench.
Sharp or pumped. I like that. Neither.
Is not going to be at United next year.
No,
I'll tell
way.
You.
That doesn't even, honestly, it doesn't matter if he finishes Champions League.
No,
he's gone.
I could see basically him staying if we make Champions League, but the writing's on the wall, I think. Short of the manager and him being like on the same page and, you know, whatever, dude, I don't know. It seems to me like it's going to be one and done with Ronaldo. He knows that he made the wrong call coming back to United.
Well, there you go.
75th minute, United flash across a great free kick, but no one slams it in. 78th minute, Rashford dances through the box. And Burnley clear off the line. I thought Rashford did look dangerous at times, but his decision making, the final product, was off. 79th, Ronaldo over the bar.
That was a good one, sir. This was a big one. Now, there are two chances in the last 10 minutes that, dude, we win the game. You know, I'm like, Ronaldo, big money Ronaldo. I love you, Ronaldo. But you got to be scoring this goal because that's why you're bringing it on. Because I hate to say it, Cavani has to. Dude, he finishes one of these goals. I know he'd be gassed by that and he was losing legs. But the ball in from Alonga was excellent. It was right in the 6-yard line and he just skied it over.
That was in the 91st, right? So then the 80th minute, we had sub Lingard on for McTominay. Lingard found his way back into the team. 85th, Alonga for Rashford. And then that 91st minute where Ronaldo skies it over. And then Maguire from a corner, but we've seen it so many times, off the mark. That was it. 1-1, sir. I know I've called it a loss at times. I know I've said the club is in crisis at times. We should expect more from this great club. You look at the wage bill that we're on. You look at these players. It's like, have some pride in your work. Show some fight. You know, stop being baby bitch FC. That's really what it is. It's just like, wake up. So, just like, wake up.
Expect less. That's what I like. We are in a perpetual state of crisis that has not changed until the owners change, or unless they like.
Yeah, but at what point do you, as like, I mean, like,
they're not waking up.
What point do you, as a man, like, let like Burnley eating your lunch, Middlesbrough nibbling around the sandwich on your plate? At what point do you, or you just stand up and be like, I am done, and just like start ripping fools' heads off and start getting after some teams? I mean, like, when does this team, like, say enough? How far can you lower your head? How much can you sulk? How much can you apologize before you just lose it and start playing and start putting on those studs that Rooney? I mean, come on. This is what we need.
Fired up, sir. I get it. I feel like a lot of fans are.
It's embarrassing.
I know. But these players don't care. We talked about it at the top of the hour. They got no fight because they're just here for the paycheck, most of them. Yeah, I think there are some players here that genuinely you could build a team around, but there are a lot of players that need to get taken out.
It has to be more than money. It has to be more to the next than part Instagram likes, right?
No, but that's what the front office has made important. They care about like clicks and likes. They don't care about winning. That hasn't been a priority. They've blown $1 billion. So there's so much news to talk about. We got to get into preview. We know it's dark. I think it's going to be dark for a long time.
This is pretty bad.
It's going to stay bad. Sir, we didn't sign anybody in January. Like you said, we loan players out to free up wage money.
What's worse, the Liverpool and then the shitty game?
Or
Middlesbrough and Burnley?
It's not even close, bro. It's not a serious question. You should know better.
Well, I mean, you went, so I guess you have a
lot. No, but it's not even like you've seen that game.
This was so much better.
This was so much better. The boys, like, we didn't finish them. We had opportunities. We actually showed up at times. Same with Middlesbrough. Those two games were abjectly poor, and there was nothing, dude. So that was a different. I think that is the bottom. in some ways. But, like, that might be the beginning of a different bottom, right? Because, like, Ralph might pass it off to somebody else who could succeed, could fail, could be an Ole, could be a Jose in the sense that he wins some stuff and blows shit up. But, like, sir, this could go keep getting worse and worse. That, like, you know, Ronaldo out, but then, you know, there are big players that could be running down their contract that might be looking at greener pastures because the club is so mismanaged.
All right, stats. This is where, you know, 22 shots for Manchester United, 9 for Burnley, 5 on target for United, 3 for Burnley. You'd like a little more on target.
You would. Sir. You would.
64% of the ball to their 36. Again, I think Burke Heffer would say we dominated this game.
Domination.
Manchester United scored only 3 goals from 60 shots across their last 3 matches. Finish, sir. Like I said, finish. And Manchester United scored in all 12 Premier League away games this season, netting 12 goals with just 5 of these coming in the first half. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ralf Rangnick.
What's the story tonight, Ralph? Is it similar to Friday nights? You need to be more clinical?
Well, we scored 3 goals, different from last Friday, when we only scored 1 goal in the first half. Tonight we scored 3 goals, and I thought especially the second one that was disallowed. I watched it right now in the locker room. And
is this the one with Pogba?
The linesman flagged foul, but yeah, he flagged it 10 seconds after that incident. And this was a very soft decision, I must say. But again, we played an excellent first half. I thought we controlled and dominated the game. We scored 3 goals, but only two were disallowed. And then the second half, the first 15, 20 minutes, we were just not aggressive enough. It was clear that they would come out after the break in a more aggressive way to play, but we were not aggressive in those first 15 minutes, and that's why we gave away the goal. We had a very good counter-attack situation 30 seconds before we conceded the goal, and the way that we allowed them to score was also we didn't defend the whole situation well, and that was, at the end, again, a frustrating night for us because we should have won that game easily after the first half. And even in the last 20, 25 minutes, we had full control and dominated the game. But we were not as decisive enough as we were in the first half.
How do you get that killer instinct back?
As I said, we scored 3 goals in the first half. So I couldn't blame the team for not having a killer instinct in the first half. But at the end, in the last 20, 25 minutes, as I said, we had a lot of set pieces, a lot of free kicks, corner kicks. In the end, it was also a little bit a question of luck with Rafa Varane, the header of Cristiano, the header of Harry Maguire. But again, in the end, 1 point for a performance like this is just not enough.
Thanks very much.
Sir, he ain't only Mr. Nice Guy. He ain't Jose. He called it like he saw it. First half, controlled the game. Scored. He said it a couple times. You didn't get to hear, but he scored 3 goals. You know, first, he said second one especially was ridiculous. He's like, just watched it. You know, they called the foul 10 seconds after the fact. But he talked about not. You know, he anticipated the aggressiveness of the Burnley side in the second half. Team didn't respond. Manager not satisfied with what he's seeing, but he's calling it straight. And it's, for some of us, for me, it's very refreshing. Ralph's straight talk, but sir, what would you want to be hearing at this point?
Substitute teacher is going to tell on you to the absent owners who don't care. You know, shaking in my boots over here. No, I appreciate him being up front. It's very refreshing. But actually, that gives you the Martial Lingard, that gives you a window into the nonsense, like the Pogba Dubai.
Totally.
Like, at least he's like, that's where I really think he's showing us, like, yo, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Like this isn't a professional organization. Like, the kids have, like, run roost. Like, the players have just, like, don't show up when they're not in a good mood.
It's amazing.
You know, it's like, you can't build the wages these guys are on. It's unbelievable. So I talked last pod. Hey, there's hope. We got race for top 4. Whoops. Got the table here. We're 5th, 23 games played, 39 points. West Ham 24 played. They have 40 points. And then it comes down to Arsenal with 21 played at 36 points. Tottenham 20 played at 36 points. Obviously, all these games in hand. To normalize it, if you were to say, okay, say we're all at 24, United would have 42, West Ham would have 40, Arsenal would be on 45, we'd be three behind them, and then Tottenham would be at 48, we'd be six behind Tottenham. Now, obviously, Tottenham are bottlers, but that's kind of the picture if you were to say, hey, add 3 points for every game in hand for the those four, West Ham, Manchester United, Arsenal, and Tottenham. Tottenham's going to drop points. Can we drop less points than Tottenham? And you thought Burnley was a gimme, so, hey, they want to make it hard. Let's show some fight, sir. That's why there's a next match. This is a big one. Manchester United versus Southampton at Old Trafford, sir. We're coming home Saturday, February 12th. And oh, by the way, we're waking up at 4:30 a.m. Pacific, 7:30 a.m. Eastern. For some reason.
Is that the afternoon? 4:30 in the afternoon? Sounds pretty good. Is that the Super Bowl?
You draw Burnley.
4:30.
You draw Burnley, and then you got Southampton at 4:30.
It's going to be bad.
4:30 make us nervous here at American Red Devils. The West Coast fans.
Especially the Saints.
You haven't woken up early and gotten a big result in a while.
Nope.
Lifetime versus Southampton, we've won 67, drawn 35, lost 28. First time we played them, February 1897 in the FA Cup. We drew 1-1. Last five against Southampton. This is where it gets tricky. 1-2, drawn 3. But we did beat them 9-0. You do remember that one in February 2021. Ole was at the wheel. Southampton coming into this one, their last four. They beat Brentford 4-1. They got done by Wolves 3-1. They drew Man City. And oh, by the way, they're still in the FA Cup. They beat Coventry 2-1. They play Tottenham tomorrow. And then us. So let's hope Tottenham bottle, and then we can do the business, sir. But not many Manchester United fans are going to be. It's nervy to be a fan right now. You know, it's nervy. We have a big West Ham win. We come back from international break. Easy games. Let's go. Let's get on a row. Get some momentum. Here we are. A little history about Southampton. One of the founding members of the Premier League. They spent the majority of their history in the top flight since promotion into it in 1966. Their longest continuous period was for 27 seasons between 78 and 2005. Nicknamed the Saints since its inception in 1885 due to its history as a church football team founded as St. Mary's Church of England. Young Men's Association, sir, say that five times fast. They have a long-standing rivalry with Portsmouth due in part to geographic proximity with both cities and their respective maritime histories. The matches between those two clubs are called the South Coast Derby. They play their home games at the Dell, not to confuse it with the computers. You know who famously managed them and will eventually manage Manchester United? Alex's favorite manager, Maurizio Pochettino. That's where he came up.
That's right.
That's where it started. Started out Southampton.
There you go.
He's and then he'll eventually come to Manchester United.
It's coming. He's definitely
Southampton
going.
Play what Burnley play, the 4-4-2. But they got that Charlie Adams, James Ward-Prowse in midfield, sir, and Nathan Redman. They're going to be up for a match. They're going to fight.
They're going to be better than Burnley. You know, you talk about bottlers. We talked about the top four race. Spurs are, you know, you talk about DNA, soul. That's in their DNA. But at least recently, we were bottlers too. I don't know if you remember last couple of weeks, months, years. So as much as we can rely on them to drop points, there's only so many points we can drop before it's just like, dude, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. These are the type of games where you have to be winning. You would think the progress has been better. The games we've seen a bit of an uptick, more attacking play, a lot of chances created, but this is a dangerous side. This is a better team than Burnley. They're going to be dangerous in the counterattack like they generally are. So, you know, the things that we've done in the past can punish us again, right? Not taking our chances, not playing a full 90, not being aggressive enough, which is what Ralph was saying, which is, you know, what we talked about earlier about Maguire's deficiency is when he's not aggressive. He's either completely too aggressive or not aggressive enough. Dude, we better be up for a match because this is a big one.
This is a big one.
And we drew him earlier this year. We couldn't best him earlier this year. Physio room for Manchester United injuries. Bye. He's out. Ankle. That's not a surprise if you listen to this podcast or follow this team. Telus and Fred out with COVID, unfortunately. No return date. So given those are the injuries for Manchester United, what is your lineup?
I'm going to do, Dave stays in net. I'm going to do Dalot, Jones, Varane, Shaw. I think Lindelof is still sick. And I'm going to do Pogba and Matic. I think McTominay took a little bit of a knock, unfortunately. He did play well today. I thought Bruno, Sancho, Rashford, Ronaldo. Who you got, bud?
I'm going to say Dave saves in net. I'm going to say Dalot, Lindelof, Varane, Shaw. I'm going to go with McTominay, Pogba, Bruno. I think McTominay, he's young. He can get back. And honestly, Sancho, Cavani, Elanga. You got to drop Rashford. I don't think he goes on. I think he's an impact sub. Elanga deserves some minutes. I think that's it. You beat Southampton easy. We're at home. What can go wrong? The bookies, oh, by the way, we're favorites. Minus 185, draw plus 330. Southampton to win plus 500. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction? And note, we've got the last two dead wrong.
I'm calling 2-1. You know, we go down early, but we fight back. We fight back. Gives us a little hope until we lose midweek to whoever we're playing next. What do you got?
1-1.
Yeah, probably. They are the trend. I mean, They're the mighty Saints. They're the draw kings. They're like a great bet is betting Saints draw.
We're better, but
yeah, of course we are. But we're better than Burnley, better than Middlesbrough, better than Villarreal.
We have better players, but our better players don't play better.
They don't better.
That's the analysis. They don't better. We got better players who make more money. They don't play better than nobody. They don't play better than Middlesbrough.
No,
bro.
They don't.
It's just like. If it was like FIFA, you could blame like the algorithm or something, you know, like it's like with in real lack, life, it's like you're lack. Better. Hello, Harry Maguire, you're 80 million. You should play well. You should take this seriously. Let's get into the news. United in the news. Manchester United, you want to hear something? We are excelling in one department, sir.
Tell me about it.
And that is absolutely blowing money.
For what all the money?
For all the success. Ed Woodward, 10 years. This is on him. One decade, net spend negative $1.1 billion on players. It's just so sad. It's like... It's number one in the EPL by a mile. So as far as net spend goes, converting it to pounds. So for those who don't know, net spend takes into account who you sell and who you buy. It's probably the most fair assessment. So say, for example, you know, Chelsea sells a lot of players for a lot of money, their net spend would be less. But United spend money and they don't sell anyone, at least since Ronaldo, for a good amount of money, right? And you like to have a balance because that means there's some sort of sustainability in what you're doing. I talked about us and Man City sort of being neck and neck. And in the net spend category, we blow them out of the water. £909 million for over the last decade. We've won four trophies with that. And I will remind you that that is the EFL, the FA Cup, the Europa League, and I believe they are counting the Community Shield.
Yeah, I believe they are counting the Community Shield, which is not a major
I actually
trophy.
Think it's three major trophies.
It's three,
but,
it's not four.
Man City, and net spend $832 million. They have won 11 trophies. Arsenal, $493. They've won four. Everton in fourth spot at $362 million in net spend. They've won nothing. Villa, $358. They've won nothing. And then Chelsea, $349. They've won six. And, you know, our late friend who was a Chelsea fan would always argue this point to us that Chelsea was much better run because it, on a net spend basis, they were nowhere near what we were. And so we are three times from a net spend. But this really highlights the incompetence of the board, because if you see, man, shitty, their ROI on that spend is high. Like, they're spending high net spend. They don't care. Money grows on oil wells. Right. So it doesn't matter. Right. So,
but it shows you what you get if you spend money well.
Exactly.
And not just piss it into the fucking flames. Like, City have spent a shit ton of money, but they've spent it very well. They haven't overbought on players. You see Jack Grealish just getting fucking loaded and just like fall down drunk the other night. And Pep, doing your winning, it don't matter, bro. Pep's like, yeah, I'm just pissed that they didn't invite me, bro. Were they that good? You could just say that. That's how we used to. That's how Ferg used to be with like Wayne. We get way too loaded. He'd be like, yeah, well, you know what happens. You reprimand him in private. But now, dude, this is just poor spending. This is all on Ed Woodward. This is all on the board. The amount of money that they've just pissed down the drain is laughable, and that's why they're not going to throw more. They're not going to throw that much more money at this thing, sir. They're going to try and cheapskate this all the way out the exit door. There's no way. They've already done their big bangs. Like, I don't see it.
And it's not, this is also part of it. It's not sustainable. Right.
Exactly.
So it's one of those things where you always talk about all the time, you know, so fine, you buy Lukaku for whatever, 80, 70 something million. You sell him for like 60, Inter haven't even paid you the full amount yet. You lost like 20 million. But on Paul Pogba, like a record signing, you're going to lose it all because you're not going to recoup any of the value. And that's just like boneheadedness, because like 2 or 3 years ago, so for example, when you talk about that Mourinho moment, we're not going to say everything was great under Mourinho. I mean, hell, LVG won the FA Cup and then Ed Woodward, the genius, and the board sacked him, right? And so that wasn't necessarily – was that the right thing to do? You know, you win a trophy like that, like, and then you get to Jose and you get to that moment where they backed Paul Pogba, fired Jose Mourinho. They could have sold Paul Pogba for 100 million. You could have given that to Jose to invest in the team. So this is kind of where the backing Paul Pogba gets you absolutely nothing. You lose Jose as the manager who just won you those trophies. And then you don't even get the return on Paul Pogba to then reinvest in the squad. And so that's why their transfer strategy is absolutely perplexing. How we're just going for these, like, we're going to now go for Declan Rice after they just said, hey, we didn't want Kamara for cheap, who, by the way, looks great playing for Juventus. We don't want this, like, cheap, opportunistic buy in January, like, to help us right now, Zakaria.
No, but you're right. 100%, sir. 100%. Because you know why? They spent $909 million in the last 10 years.
No, but they would rather spend
and won four trophies. That's three trophies. That's why. Because they're just, what is the definition of insanity? It's like, it's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And they keep doing it. Like, the fact that they're going in on Declan Rice again at $100 million is fucking insanity. Like,
no, these big deals, these big money deals that take so long and they drag out and they posture and they never get anything done. And meanwhile, you got to be like actually doing deals to improve this team. You got to be like getting players off the books, getting the Zakarias of the world in, the young prospects in. And then sometimes those players pop, then there's surplus requirements. If Paul Pogba re-ups, you can sell one of them. There's tons of different things to do. But the way they're currently running this business is just into the ground. Into the ground.
It's unbelievable.
And this is why, as a fan, it's concerning, because players running down the deals, the club not able to sell. Now, man, shitty doesn't need to sell because they're winning and it's working, right? They don't need to do anything. Manchester United have needed to sell Martial. They've needed to sell Jesse Lingard. They need to sell Phil Jones. They need to sell these players, and it's like pulling teeth. They can't sell for the life of them. And so this just shows you that Edward Woodward's specialist in failure, and his, oh, by the way, his right-hand man is now running this club. Now, these results here are absolutely embarrassing.
Arsenal's
done horrible. Arsenal's done horrible.
Yeah, but now they're
stepping
up. And
they spent half.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. They spent, think about this. Arsenal's won four major trophies with $493 million net spend, and you look at their buys and you laugh. Lacazette, Aubameyang, absolutely jokes. They've done horrible. We've done twice as bad as them.
Yeah, but they're stopping
for the
that
same
shit.
Amount.
They're
the
stopping
amount
the big
trophies.
Monies. They're buying like ragtag $4 million, $8 million. They're just being pragmatic. Like,
no, they outspend everyone.
No, I know. They're buying the men whites, but they're also like they're making buys instead of spending $90 million or $100 million on Declan Rice. You should buy three players. Right? Because like we're losing players anyway, but this is just a factor that we haven't moved these players on. So we just have so much wage budget just sitting there that we just can't ever move.
So number one in net spend, number one in wages, and tied and basically behind shitty Chelsea. And obviously, if you look at leagues like Liverpool, net spend $293 million, you know, they've been able to do it. So not a good indictment. The last decade, we all know kind of what has happened and what's occurred and why we're here. And you're just looking for someone to give a shit who's on the board to be like, we got to change this. We got to get really smart guys in. We can't have like Murtaugh. Who's this guy? We need like the best in the business to look at what we need to do with this squad and figure it out. And instead, you hear a horrible excuse about why we didn't get Zakaria or do anything. Oh, we're waiting for the new manager. And then 2 days later, oh, we want to sign Declan Rice.
You want to feel
so
better?
You mean you're not going to sign Declan Rice and then tell Ten Hag, oh, sorry, you don't have any more money. So you're waiting for the guy, but you're not going to let him make a call. And that's what we've seen. That's why we have Harry Maguire.
They pick the player before they pick the manager. Dude, they get in love with these players. Yeah. They get in love with these players, and it's like, especially so when they're English, and they just make it all about one signing. And they did with Pogba too. It's just like they just need to just not be worried about the Twitter buzz and the pianos, and just focus on like what kind of player is. Buy smart, pragmatic buys on the cheap. Look for deals, like you said. Be thrifty. And they're just not doing that anymore. And speaking of thrifty, I'll tell you what, our squad in the Champions League just got a little bit more robust. We got four goalkeepers now. I got a Lee Grant ticket. Can he save a penalty? Is he gonna penalty shootouts? And center back Phil Jones, who actually will play, which is sad because Eric Bailly is hurt again. Shocker. Did you know Eric Bailly was hurt?
Yes. We talked about the injuries, but yeah, no, this is United removed Ahmad and Donny from their champions and Martial from their Champions League squad, and they're replacing them with Lee Grant, Phil Jones. that tells you a lot about this club.
That's right.
Right there. And not we're talking about incoming, but it's really the outgoing that scares me. Donny van de Beek will need to be played in these games, and we got rid of him. Ahmad could be great off the bench, and we loaned him. And this is where it comes to not only are we not signing people, but we're trying to get wages off the books to save like nothing. We are Flamengo going to do us a favor here. They're going to give us £12 million for Andres Pereira. I like that. I mean, hey, this sometimes a blind squirrel finds an acorn here. Someone's going to pay us something for Andres.
Hey, that's money. And it's good to see him find a fit where he's doing well. He's playing his home country. He's playing well. He's helping them trying to like compete for a league. So, and we'll actually make some money. We'll see how little they get. They could have gotten enough for CDM, but they ain't spending that. Let's go to the dividend. But
we have him on the books through 2024.
There you go.
So that's actually that's a good one. You got to say.
That's a signing.
Again, it's not because United, he's been on the books way too long. Haven't been able to sell him. Finally, someone wants him. That's great. And then this last bit of news here from Rangnick. This one kind of hurt a little bit. He says, quote, if Manchester United has not won a title in the last 10 years, there must be some good reasons for that. Right now, we are fourth in the league, and everyone on the inside of the club, including myself, would be happy if we finished fourth at the end of the season. And he's just saying, like, hey.
Think about that, bro. Think about what he's saying. Think about what he's saying without saying it.
That's a shot. That's a shot across the bow. That tells me that's like as bold as you're going to get.
Yep.
From a manager, and that tells me he don't give a hoot about his job because he knows that he's out after the end of the year.
He is. You're starting to see it. He's starting to.
He knows it. He knows it is bad. There's no point in appeasing the board. There's no future with him in United. He's just literally doing this and gonna leave.
No,
that's like it sounds like it's really bad.
Oh, it's bad.
because that is the words of a man who's either, like you said, doesn't give a shit or is calling it straight like we need it. But, dude, he could be not the savior, but he could be exactly what this club what it needs right now. But they ain't listening. Dude, they ain't willing to listen. They ain't willing to change. They ain't willing to do differently what they've been doing. We haven't won a title in 10 years. They're fourth in the league, and they'd be thrilled if they finished fourth in the league. Dude, think about that, bro.
But here's ultimately where the issue is. It's if the fans were able to come together in a way to make it known to the ownership that we're not fucking around, then shit would change real quick. And when those fans broke into that stadium and the fans, that was almost sort of like a global protest against the Super League. And then United obviously did really well as a faction to protest their ownership, our ownership. And we've been saying on this pod since we started, it's Glazers out, dude. You look at the finances, everything. But it's like, I've always seen there's too much infighting against United fans. The journalists do a bad job in England covering it. They don't like, certain journalists who won't mention don't like to ask tough questions. Like, clearly the Glazers said, oh, we're going to talk to the fans, and they've been missing. They said they're going to redo the stadium. There's no plan. There's all these things the Glazers kind of throw out there, and it's just like nothing, and they never are held to account in any way, shape, or form. And they're not held to account by us, the fans. I mean, we say Glazers out. We have the stickers. We have the shirts. We have the scarves. But at the end of the day, as a fan base, we got to come together and really put pressure on this ownership. And it's coming. Like, that was like a blip. We saw it, and the Super League backed down, and then Ed Woodward said he was going to quit. But we need much more sustained pressure. Like, I remember my first game at Old Trafford in 09-10 playing against the Scouse Bastards, and green and gold was everywhere. And we need that back in the stadium. We need boycotting sponsors. We don't want sponsors near this. We got to hit them in the pocketbook. We got to band together. It's going to come, because this is going to get worse before it gets better, and fans should be thinking proactively. But I feel like people don't want that heavy shit watching football, and so it kind of creates this something about the United fan base is we're fickle. We sign Ronaldo and like all of our problems are gone. Or, I've kind of seen that over the years, where clearly we should just be grinding out the Glazers, making them want to sell, and that sustained pressure has just gone away. Where it was there 10 years ago, it's not there now.
It's true. And we have to reignite it, and I think it's hard to do so because they throw fodder at you. They give you a Ronaldo as kind of the chum to kind of keep you satiated, but standards have slipped. Top four has become acceptable. And even that, is like, they make it a fucking challenge. So we're going to continue to suffer as long as they're there. And we found that the only way to really like get change quickly, you see it, is like, hurt them financially. You hurt their sponsors. The sponsors, they're the ones that they'll hear. At the end of the day, it's like the fans need to come together. I agree with you. Players, managers, it doesn't matter who comes in next. It doesn't matter what players we sign. It doesn't matter what players we sell. Dude, they're still there. As long as they are there, we will suffer.
But it has to be more than just like show up, protest one day and have some bunch of drunk people kick a door down. No, it has to be like organized, has to be smart, has to be done on the internet. There has to be like demands. It should be like, and that's the problem is I forget Must. I'm like a member of Must, and they're the ones who are like, and this is where the factions of fans kind of break up, where they're like, oh, we want to talk to the Glazers. They're going to listen to us. You know what I'm saying? They're like, no, give them a chance. Like, and I'm like, no, dude, like we should be boycotting the sponsors. There should literally be a concerted effort by fans. I mean, we're going to do our part. We've been talking about the finance. We've been talking about this club. We've been talking about these owners for 5 years. But at the end of the day, something's got to give. And I think hopefully we can band together and push them out, because that's what we deserve. But I think you're going to get a shiny new manager, and you're going to get a Declan Rice with cheese, sir. And fans will just turn the other way, and that dividend will keep clicking, and no trophies will be added to that cabinet. They really do escape criticism in the media. they really do escape criticism. And I kind of felt like it was when they were following Avram Glazer on the streets of Florida with cameras, that's when it like really was on.
We had a chance
to get back to that. We need to get back to that.
We had a chance. You need to keep that sustained pressure. You start bothering them in their fucking hometown, that will get them the move. Because that will get them to be like, all right, we have the Bucks, right? Let's sell United. We can make a shit ton. Dude, we have to remember that, though. You and I, Alex and John, have to remember that this summer when Mauricio Pochettino is announced as our next manager and we signed Declan Rice. We have to remember that, like, yeah, dude, we'll be behind Deck and we'll be behind Mauricio Pochettino, dude. But like, we're not gonna, you know, it's not gonna be the path to long term success, because at the end of the day, people making the call live in Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa, Florida, and
fucking Tampa,
which I fucking love, you know, fucking Tampa all day, baby. But like, fucking Glazers suck, dude, and we are going to suffer as long as they own us. So we have to make it loud. We have to make it known and hit him in the pocketbooks. Don't hit the, you know, no team viewer. No, by the way, team viewer, did you see their stock just absolutely cratered? Like,
no. Sir, let's get into the fan questions here. I feel like the worse United does, the longer the pod therapy is.
They're not gonna be able to pay their shit like 5 years, bro.
I know. Let's get into these tweets here. You guys are the real MVPs. Listen to this pod. You know, the fans in this community is what it's all about. We really appreciate you guys. And, you know, we're going to get through this. It's tough to show your face as a United fan these days, but, you know, sweet wouldn't be so sweet without the bitter, baby. Let's get into these. I bet they're going to be harsh. At United Red Devils, quote, "We've turned into fucking Arsenal, chasing top four for relevance. In a matter of 5 days, we lost to Burrow on pens after a 1-1 tie and tied with Burnley." JFC. I don't know what that acronym is. I'm sure it isn't kind to United. But yes, have we become Arsenal, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, in the owners' aspirations, yes. They haven't won a thing. I mean, they haven't won a freaking European title. So, like, no, we haven't become Arsenal. We become Arsenal in the sense that, like, Arsenal used to be a team satisfied with top four. They probably still are. But even now, they give off the appearance that they've made changes and they seem to be better managed than they were 5 years ago. The quality of the clubs around us continues to rise. It's like City is not going anywhere. Chelsea ain't going anywhere. Liverpool are
it's
much
not
better
City,
than they were.
It's Pep, by the way. As soon as no, Pep but they're leaves, still it's fucking gonna fall dude, apart. Mark
maybe,
my words.
Maybe.
Mark,
but if they brought in a Ten Hag, they would still win. They
mark
might not win as
words,
much. They'll still
mark
win
my
shit,
words,
dude. They'll still win shit.
Mark my words.
Okay, but either way, they built something that probably will lead to sustained success, you would think, given the academy that they built and they've been pretty
well.
Stop
talking about City.
I'm not talking about City. The whole point is Villas of the world, Newcastle's of the world, Brighton's of the world, Leeds of the world. Dude, these upstarts are not going away. It's only getting more competitive. And even if it are just the Arsenal of the world, it's only gonna get harder. So it's like we need to stick the pressure on them because
I don't
the top
think,
four
I don't
they
think
crave
about other
will
teams.
Become more difficult.
Just sir, you're worried about Aston Villa.
No, I'm not
like,
worried.
Newcastle, like, sir, it's like we gotta get out of our own way.
Of course we do.
Like, we
spend of course we do. I'll
we
make
just
it a
talked
point.
About how we spend it. We just talked about how, like, the money's there. We have the most revenue and like we're tied up there for like the most revenue in world football. We have the resources. We have we have the stadium. We got the fans. We got the badge. We got the history. We got everything. We got to get out of our own way, and that's the goddamn owners. I'm not worried about, like, you know, whatever, Bonesaw FC. I'm not worried about any of these guys, dude. It's like we got to get out of our own way, and until we do, we can't even worry about what other teams are doing. But
talk about front office, bro. I'm talking
the
about
metaphor,
just like a competent front office. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, the metaphor for Arsenal is we used to laugh when they celebrated making top four. We laughed. How petty are they for celebrating fourth place? And now all we want for Christmas is fourth. And that's really, that shows you like how.
That ain't all we want for Christmas. You want a Champions League when we enter the season. I still want a Champions League. I wanted a league.
No, but you know, I'm talking about now. Like what we want now is top four. And we would celebrate top four. And at one point we literally thumbed our noses at a team.
But would we celebrate
that?
We want it, but we wouldn't celebrate it. Like, well, we would still have that kind
of. You and me, when we watched Leicester versus Manchester United last game of the season for top four, like we were.
No, it matters. Hey, you're right. You're right, sir. the standards have slipped even here, even amongst us Muppets. We have slipped. So an hour and a half in, we're still arguing.
That's the state of this team. We go, the pod doesn't sleep. We go overtime. When is it? This is crisis. Team in crisis.
It's always crisis. It's a crisis for 3 years.
We beat West Ham.
State of crisis. We beat West Ham on a last minute goal. We beat West, sir.
Yeah, we beat
perpetual
West Ham.
State
buzzing.
Of crisis.
Consistency is what kills us too. At Jamal Motok, quote, sirs, for once, I just want the match to end and not feel like shit. Is that too much to ask for? Turf Mordor looked more like Hobbiton with those weak VAR calls. Where do we go from here? Top four slipping out of our reach. Like I said, Jamal, consistency. We're inconsistent, so we can come smash Southampton. We can win five straight. You know, we can beat shitty. You know, we're all over the board. The whole thing is where we'll end up, nobody knows. And I guess we have to hope we get top four.
Top four club. Welcome to the top four club. You got it.
We played great at M. Hersey 5. We played great in the first half, terrible in the second. Few frustrating VAR decisions. Finisher chances, simple enough. How many more times do we have to watch this shitty story? Sounds about right to me. And then we had at Callum Whitcomb, nothing but pain.
That's the tweet.
At Mike United Mets, he usually gives us a positive take. Let's go. Quote, I'll root for every United player till the day they leave the club, but Maguire can be so frustrating. I think the fact the potential is there, but he doesn't show it at United, makes it sting more. Do the Sirs think we'll ever see his best at United? Hashtag Glazers out. What do you make? We're going to see the best of Harry?
I mean, I don't want to never say never, right? Because players go through ebbs and flows. You know, like De Gea, he looked down and out. But he had years of consistency. He had won titles for United. I don't know. But like you said, he ain't going nowhere. So he's going to get minutes, whether it's under Ralph or the next guy. I hope. Maybe he'll do a Luke Shaw. I don't know. Honestly, this could be one of those things that like hangs over his head forever and he just sucks. Like, as long as United player, he just can't play.
He just sucks.
I'm not saying he sucks. But you know what I mean? Like, he just can't make it click. It just won't happen for him because I don't know. You know, we're in that state where things don't necessarily go our way. Piano, right? Alexis Sanchez. It's just like there's so many of these things that are just like ain't going our way, bro. It's like we're used to it at this point.
I think Maguire will play better than he has. But I don't think we're going to get $80 million worth out of him ever. You know, that's, you know, I think he has pace issues. And if you can't play with Varane, I don't know who you can play with ultimately. So, I mean, I think Maguire is frustrating for the fact we overvalued him by probably 30 mil. But he is what he is. And like you say, he's going to be here. But he does have durability. So I think 1 year he played like every game almost and, you know, didn't make like obvious mistakes. And I think that's the best you're going to get out of Maguire, unfortunately.
He is a player. You know it. Like, there's a player there. We've seen
Grease thing and then his comments.
Okay, but the Grease thing is, like, not that big.
Ole got fired and then he takes a photo with a fan out at dinner, like, drinking the, like, right at, like, he's just got, he,
but I'm not talking about that
shit.
He's
kind
of a dope. Yeah, he's probably kind of a dope.
Like, that's the problem. Maguire can't get out of his own way.
But I'm talking about football, dude. But, like, that's why being the captain is too much for him. That's why I keep talking about you have to take it away from him because it makes it overthink it. And at the end of the day, he's got it. But he just, like, he needs to play like the animal that he can be and not be, like, the soft tissue that he was today, dude. Because either he goes, like you said, he plays, like, aggressive, like you want to see, or he just, like, today he just cedes to it. He did that
early. He makes errors.
He makes errors.
He makes very poor decisions that lead directly to goals. And, yes, he smashed an amazing penalty for England in the final of a European Cup. And yes, he looks like he should be an 80 million pound player, but ultimately his errors are so poor that is a red flag. I agree with you. Like, he looks like a player, but like the errors he makes are very, very poor.
Did Pogba look like a $90 million player today?
He did when he played for France in the World Cup final and he was man of the match.
And that game,
so, yeah.
That game he did.
Yeah.
Like and 4 years ago.
hey, you know what? He's going to ride that for 4 years and then get paid a lot of money somewhere else. So.
That's right.
Look, that's it. That's the podcast. We went overtime, a club in crisis. We also have to cover the Munich air disaster, you know, tragedy for the club, but a part of the history we had to cover. So a lot to cover today, sir. But at the end of the day, we're going nowhere. This team, we're going to see him play better. We're going to probably see him play just as bad before the end of the year. But what can you expect when you put a substitute teacher to look after these kids that we got? And ultimately, the blame goes upstairs. Hashtag Glazers out. You want to give us our top downloads?
You got it. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Floral Park, New York. La Quinta, California. Oslo, Norway. Raleigh, North Carolina. Brookshire, Texas. Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Georgetown, Indiana. Ormond Beach, Florida. And last but not least, Houston, Texas. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Best fans in the world. Sorry, it will always be darkest for the always be darkest before the dawn.
Keeps getting darker.
It keeps getting darker. It will probably get darker. It's probably gonna keep getting darker. I think it's gonna get a lot worse.
Someone got a flashlight.
Like this could be I think it's gonna be 30 years. So all I'm saying is manage your expectations, standards have dropped, and just enjoy what we can. Watch the old matches. Rooney talking shit, doing things at Derby. I mean, just like they're the old.
Oh yeah,
games.
I'm gonna be a if King gets promoted.
Yeah, Sunderland fan.
I'm gonna be a Sunderland. Yeah, absolutely.
This guy, big Sunderland guy. You're a big Sunderland guy. Big Sunderland.
No, I just need something.
I know. I'm gonna root for Derby, bro, because you know I like Wayne.
It's the state, like you know, United. It's
sad.
Sorry, got a fight night. Can never give up. Again, thanks to everyone listening to the pod. Check out our website, www.americareddevils.com. Join our Discord, amazing community. Check out our online store. Support us on Patreon. Drop a review. It's free. We got some music to take us out, sir. What do you got?
This is what I heard in the away end today at Turf Mordor. United Calypso singing us out.
Shout out to the away support. Everyone have a great week. And you know how the footballing gods are just. We got 4:30 a.m. after that 1-1 Burnley.
Come on, baby. 9-0.
You know, 4-4. Like,
9-0. Give me a 9-0.
I'll tell you, this team tests you, sir. It tests you because you're like, I got 1-1 Burnley, and the next game I'm going to get a 5-4-30 for Southampton.
Yeah.
Well, so don't do me dirty, United.
Don't expect much. 1-1. What was your call? 1-1? That sounds about right.
Come on, United. Let's go. Everyone have a great week.